Welcome to Talking New Energy, a podcast from Delta EE, the New Energy Experts. We'll be talking about how the energy transition is developing across Europe, with guests who are working at the leading edge of this transition. Hello, and welcome to the episode. Today, we're looking at the world of green energy certificates, which have got lots of different acronyms in different parts of the world. The concept is fairly simple. If I, as a customer, want to make sure I'm only using green electricity, in many countries, I can sign up to a green tariff and I can use my electricity guilt-free, knowing that it's coming from renewable energy sources. So the idea of green certificates, which has got many different names, guarantees of origin, renewable energy certificates, REGOs in the UK, or broadly energy attributable certificates, EACs, is not new. But things are getting a bit more complex, as many of you may have found with conversations with friends who are on green tariffs. I can't understand why they're sometimes, why their prices are high, and why they're not always using energy from a wind farm, for example. So the world of energy certificates is getting more complex, I was going to say, definitely more nuanced. And to help explain it, Ferenczi, who's founder of EnergyTag and co-founder and CEO of Granular Energy. Hello, Toby.
Hi, John. Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks for joining. So, The old world we've been in with energy certificates, where I can sign up to a green tariff and I can relax guilt-free because I'm using green electricity all the time, doesn't quite work like that. Tell us a bit about the problem you're trying to solve with EnergyTag and Granular Energy.
Yeah, sure. Well, maybe just start with a very brief kind of introduction to what are energy certificates and why do we need them in the first place.
So I can sit back guilt-free about oh, I'm using green electricity all the time, Toby.
Well I mean that is ultimately that's why they renewable energy certificates, or guarantees of origin as they're known in Europe, REGOs if you're from the UK. It's actually a system that's been around for over 20 years. It's very well established. It's part of, embedded into European legislation. And the reason it's there is so that you can make this choice as a consumer, whether you're an individual, as you said, buying a green tariff from an energy company, or whether you're a big corporate trying to buy green electricity for your industrial consumption. And it is there so that you can make a choice between electricity from clean sources or electricity from fossil fuels, which is kind of a simple question.
Yeah.
But it's actually quite a complex answer, because of course you can't physically tell whether the electricity that's, you know, powering your laptop at the moment has come from a solar farm or a coal power station.
It's a bit different from buying organic food at the supermarket, isn't it? Where I can go and I can see a label that I trust, and I can choose organic if I want to.
Yeah, and you can probably follow that apple all the way from the farm to your dinner table.
Yeah.
When it comes to electricity, it's a bit different, because all power stations are connected to the same electricity grid. So that power is essentially mixed together. But what you can do, and this is where certificates come into play, is you can digitally certify each unit of electricity as it's generated, as it comes onto the electricity system. And then as a consumer, you can claim that unit of electricity against your own consumption. And the way certificate systems work is they have a centralized registry that can keeps a record of all of those units of electricity, so that you can make a reliable claim without the risk of double counting.
Yep.
It's an accounting system, ultimately, that makes sure if you've bought that certificate, no one else has, you know, bought the same unit of electricity.
Yep.
And that's why it's, you know, these systems have become so widespread. They exist in all developed electricity markets. The certificate industry was worth about $12 billion last year and is set to grow. And they're used for, as you said, all of those green tariffs, and they're also used in Scope 2 carbon accounting, which, in case you didn't know what that is, if you're an organization and you want to report your carbon emissions, this is a way for you to reduce the carbon emissions associated with your electricity consumption, which for certain industries is extremely important. You know, if you're running data centers, for instance, or you're producing, you know, goods like aluminium with electricity, it becomes a very important method for reducing your carbon emissions, is to buy green. In fact, probably the most impactful thing any of us can do is to choose to buy green electricity over fossil fuels. So that's the current system.
Yeah, so far so good. And there are plenty of people like me or plenty of corporates using green certificates, but not quite knowing that there are times when actually they're in the middle of a winter's evening with peak demand, that their electricity isn't coming from renewable energy sources at that point in time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tell us where it breaks down and what problems you're trying to solve.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the way current certificate systems work, and this is true wherever you are in the world, is they're based on a system of matching annual supply and demand. So put simply, you use 10 units of energy in a year, and you buy 10 units of clean energy certificates that were produced at any point in the same 12-month window, you are 100% renewable.
Yeah.
And if you're a business, you can claim that those emissions from your electricity are zero carbon. And now, the problem with that is it's not reflective of today's real-world availability of renewables, which sees in some times of the day massive overproduction of renewable energy, and at some times hardly any at all. And it sort of implies that you can essentially take solar energy from the middle of the summer and use it at night in winter. And so this probably wasn't an issue 20 years ago when the certificate systems were set up, because there were no renewables on the grid. So you were always displacing fossil fuels, and timing wasn't the problem that it is today. But now it's a real problem, and it's creating distrust. You know, you see a lot of kind of articles about greenwashing, people not really sure what these certificates mean. By the way, as a side point, people get often very confused with PPAs and certificates, often described as being equivalent. They're not. They actually do very different things. A PPA doesn't give you the right to say your energy is coming from that wind farm. You need the certificate, but nevertheless, PPA can be beneficial for other things, which you can go into. The simple answer is, if you add a timestamp to the existing certificate system, add a timestamp to these certificates, you can suddenly say where your energy is coming from in that specific 1 hour or half hour period. And that creates greater trust, because you're connecting production with consumption in real time. It's also a benefit because it sends a real price signal. One of the main problems with the current certificate systems is the certificates are priced the same regardless of supply and demand, right? Regardless of time of day. There's not an efficient price signal. If you have a time-stamped energy certificate or an hourly certificate, which is what we're advocating, these certificates become a revenue stream, not just for more renewables, and incentive by buying them, you're incentivizing more renewables. You're also incentivizing storage and flexibility. What you want for these certificates to be cheap when clean energy is in oversupply, and more expensive when it's in undersupply. And then if you're a battery, for instance, you can capture the spread between the low-priced hours and the high-priced hours. And so this is an additional revenue stream for all of the demand response and sort of flexible storage technologies that we need to see.
So is it predicated, Toby, on people like me as a consumer or a large corporate, an Amazon or a Microsoft, wanting to know that they're using green electricity, they're actually using green electricity every hour of the year, rather than on average over the year their net is green?
Yeah, I think it's dependent on consumers wanting to reduce their carbon emissions, right? And one of the main ways you can reduce your carbon emissions is to choose green energy over fossil fuels.
Yep.
And the way that system, and when you're buying fossil fuels, you were buying clean energy rather, you want to be able to have the most impact possible. And so that's why it makes so much sense to move from this annual system of annual matching, which isn't sending an effective price signal to the market, to something that's more hourly. And for that matter, kind of more in line with the way wholesale power markets work, which are already a market for energy on a half hourly basis.
So I was going to say the wholesale power markets will reflect the scarcity value of electricity in general at times of peak demand, but they won't reflect the scarcity of green renewable generation at the times of peak demand.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the reason we have wholesale power markets is because they help to keep the grid in balance, to coordinate producers and consumers. But by definition, the way they're set up is their power pools. So all of that power is pooled together, and there's no traceability. There's no way of, when you buy power in the power market, there's no way of telling what came out of it. And so the idea of behind this movement towards hourly energy certificates is to kind of bring closer alignment with the way wholesale power markets work and the certificate systems.
Yeah, okay. So if so I'm trying...
These historically separate systems, we're bringing them into alignment.
And that's... If we think back to the establishment of the annual energy certificates, that was often developed at national level with national legislation or at a European level. How do you go about setting up a standard or way of doing hourly energy certificates? And it's a slightly leading question because I guess tell us a bit about how Energy Tag's going about it, because that's not at national level. You're trying to work at an international level, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a great question. So I founded Energy Tag, which is a non-profit standards body for time-stamped energy certificates or granular certificates, sometimes called hourly certificates, about nearly 3 years ago. And I started thinking about the problem very deeply because I was doing a demand response startup, so optimizing EVs and batteries. And that was business was bought by OVO Energy, which is a big green energy supplier in the UK. I was thinking a lot about these both energy certificate systems, but also grid balancing and how do we get the grid to run on high penetrations of renewables. And so in that research, I was quite surprised to see that, this certificate system still worked on this basis of annual matching. And I was sort of asking, well, who's working on moving this to a more granular time period, because it's sort of obvious if you come from that energy storage demand response that annual matching is not kind of
not good enough.
And so in kind of seeing that it was fairly not a huge amount of progress was being made, sort of how do you get market-wide consensus for a new instrument, I created a non-profit standards body. It actually was a lockdown project initially, and it took off far more quickly than I thought. We got funding from a variety of different organizations, including Google.org. And then it's got support of over 500 organizations, including the UN, some large energy buyers like Google and Microsoft, and many utilities. And it's really global. It's really international. There's people from five continents involved. And the standard has took 2 years to write by a team of certificate experts that's chaired by a guy called Phil Moody, who basically was the inventor of the energy certificate systems in Europe. He was Secretary General of the AIB for 20 years, which is the body that oversees the certificate systems in Europe. And so the standards, actually, you can download it. It's energytag.org, which is a framework for how to issue timestamp certificates in a way that is compatible with the existing certificates. So that there isn't a new double counting issue, and so that's the standards body. But it's actually the hope is that this standard gets adopted by the existing regulatory frameworks that govern the existing certificate systems. So yeah, sorry, please go ahead, John.
So the setting of those standards, I mean, the standards, rock solid cast iron standards are critical. If you're going to have a trade in something, you have to have absolute clarity in what you're trading. So I can see how critical those standards are. How hard, was there anything contentious in developing those standards? Or was it just, yeah, this takes time and effort and legwork, and we just have to get through all of that? But actually, you know, it's a relatively smooth process. It's just got to be done.
Yeah, it's a great question. So luck, I actually think it was remarkably smooth. We were quite blessed, I think, with having a team of real experts who had deep understanding and actual deep involvement in the existing certificate systems. And all we're trying, what we're trying to do with the standard is kind of not change too much at all in terms of how the existing certificates work, but just add a timestamp.
Yep.
You know, essentially, energy certificates already tell you quite a lot of information. They tell you where the power came from, the location of the plant, when it was built. They just don't tell you when the electricity was produced.
Is there a where element to that as well?
Well, yeah, you already have the where.
Yeah.
So you already know, when you buy the existing certificates, you know the location.
Yeah.
So you can already choose, as an energy buyer, your energy supply can already choose exactly where it buys its electricity from, or energy certificates from. But it can't choose when the electricity was produced, because the data isn't there. So it's really like it comes down to sort of adding this missing data field.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, but I think consensus, you know, a lot, it's not out of the ordinary to do this whole process. Actually, the energy certificates, existing energy certificate system, started out as a voluntary initiative. It was actually started by industry coming together to create a way to choose green energy. And it was only after 6 years that it became, regulators realized what was happening and said, yes, we should regulate this. And then the regulation is actually quite different depending on where you go in the world. But most, actually a lot of environmental products start out as voluntary markets, a similar thing is happening in the voluntary carbon markets, where it starts out voluntary and then regulation comes in to standardize the market. But there's, you often need the voluntary market there first, because there's no point regulating something until it exists.
Yeah. So if you think of all the work that needs to be done to get everything in place for energy tech, and I know these things are always, they're never done. There's always evolution and further work to be done. But to a point where you think, great, the market for this can begin. If zero is I've got all the work ahead and 10 is all the work's been done, where are you? Where's energy tag on that 0 to 10 scale?
Yeah. Well, in terms of energy tags work, which is, you know, now thanks to some great work by the energy tag team, Killian Daly, who's general manager in Brussels, he runs the day-to-day activities. The standard, the first version of the standard is now published, which means that registries, or the bodies that issue these energy certificates, can follow the standard, and they can be audited by energy tag to issue the certificates in a compliant manner. And that is now sort of starting to happen, and we'll still see the first certificates issued over the next 12 months. There's now a need, which sort of explains my personal journey, for a whole range of new tools and software to make this easy. Because if you say to someone, right, we're taking the existing certificate system, which works on an annual basis, and you're going to hourly, which means many more certificates to deal with, and then you're, rather than try to match in on an annual basis, right, it's largely, you know, the existing certificates are traded largely over the phone at the moment. And you want to start matching supply and demand in 30-minute windows, it needs some new tools. And so that sort of explains why I decided to co-found Granular Energy.
You're basically taking what was one annual requirement for certificates into 8760 requirements for certificates. And
exactly.
That's a very different challenge.
Yeah, exactly. And we're expecting people to match you know, each hour their consumption with production from renewable sources. So yeah, go ahead.
So what might some use cases be? I mean, one might, you mentioned companies like Microsoft and Google. I guess they might want to show that their data center every single hour is only using green electricity. Bring to life, to you know, some use cases that Granular Energy is looking to solve.
Yeah, well, so first of all, just quick intro to, you know, Granular Energy. What we do is we provide software largely to energy companies, so utilities, energy suppliers, to make it really easy for them to access and allocate hourly certificates to their consumers, right? So, and then to as a second step, to then trade these certificates with each other.
Yeah.
So if you imagine you're a utility and you've got lots of customers that all want these hourly certificates, they all want what's sometimes called 24/7 clean energy. They want to show in each hour of the day their energy is coming from clean energy sources. And you as a energy company have contracts with a variety of, you know, wind farms and solar farms or batteries, hydropower stations. The platform first enables you to allocate these hourly certificates very easily in an automated way to your end customers, depending on what they've requested.
Yeah.
And then you'll see which hours you have too many and which hours you don't have enough. And so you can sell the hours of the certificates that are in oversupply, and you can buy short the hours where you don't have enough. And we have a partnership in the UK with Nord Pool, who's the power market operator, and Elexon, the settlements body, and various others, to build the world's first spot market for these hourly certificates, which creates a kind of that intraday price curve for these certificates that then enable storage to play.
So I was going to use the word replicating, but that's the wrong word. In the same way, an energy retailer has to manage the, depending where, what part of the world you're in, 15 minute, half hour, 1 hour matching of supply, what their customers are using and what they're buying for electricity. It's exactly the same thing, but for hourly green certificates.
Yeah, exactly. It works in a similar way, but it's a kind of a parallel market. And in fact, if you are already, you know, trading power, as most energy companies are, it's actually quite intuitive, and it doesn't add to your workload, because you're interacting in a very similar way.
Yeah.
But what it does do is create an additional price signal for, you know, clean energy to be delivered when it's most needed.
Yeah.
And some use cases, as you said, so there's, you know, with sort of the early demand for this has really been led by the data center community, by Google and Microsoft, who have set hard targets to get to what they call 24/7 clean energy by 2030, meaning each hour of the day they need to see that their energy is coming from clean energy sources, going one step beyond the current annual matching process. So in the same way those companies kind of led the way with PPAs 15 years ago, they're leading the way with this 24/7 clean energy movement. It is really a movement now. So the UN has a program called the 24/7 Clean Energy Compact to promote this concept of hourly sourcing of clean energy. They've currently got 70 signatories, and it's growing. So big corporates are signing up. And there are more and more use cases. So, for instance, in the UK rules about producing green hydrogen, there's actually a requirement that you match the electrolyzer with renewables on an hourly basis, and that's to prevent gas turbines coming on to run electrolyzers at certain times of the day, which would actually create more carbon emissions than if you were just doing hydrogen.
You've got to make sure it's really green hydrogen and not brown hydrogen.
So John, this applies to anywhere where you care about the carbon content of the electricity that you're consuming, which is basically all of electrification, right? Electrification doesn't really make sense in most cases unless you're using zero carbon electricity. So how do you ensure that when you're connected to the grid that your energy is really zero carbon? And this is basically the new the new standard.
Slightly philosophical question. Do you think you end up, is there a risk you end up with a market of customers that really care and customers that don't care? I guess you could have that with the way with annual energy certificates, couldn't you, as well?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a question for that. You know, the way the system works today in the UK is that if you're not buying those clean energy certificates, you get the residual mix, which is basically what's left after the certificates of the green energy's been taken out of the system. I mean, I think that this is ultimately a way to harness the consumer demand for clean energy to send a price signal. And you have seen historically, you know, certain consumers and corporates being a step ahead of governments in terms of their ambition. And this is a method that allows you to take that ambition and drive real impact.
Will send price signals into markets that will increase the value of green power, particularly when there's not much of it around. Will accelerate.
It doesn't take much for this to be a slight premium on green energy that can actually have a real difference, because the hours when it's most needed, you know, you could see some quite strong pricing there. And then that being said, once the instruments are available to be used by policymakers, then there's all sorts of ways in which governments can adopt them to incentivize the right behaviors. Right? Yeah. So for instance, if you wanted to create a local energy market, you could just use these certificates to say everyone who consumes these certificates in a local area matched with their consumption in a specific hour benefits in some way from either reduced grid costs or other sorts of things. And in the US, they have something called RPS standards, Renewable Portfolio Standards, which is actually a requirement on the utilities, the energy companies, to buy these certificates. So there it's sort of some of the certificates are bought for voluntary reasons, others are bought for compliance reasons.
Yeah.
And there's several discussions. I just got back from a couple of conferences in the States, and people were openly discussing the idea of moving to 24/7 or hourly renewable portfolio standards, which would create a compliance, essentially compulsory purchasing of these hourly certificates.
So, Toby, I can see long term. Well, short term, this is gathering momentum in lots of ways that you've described. I can see really clear use cases that you described. You know, the Google's, Microsoft's, Amazon's wanting to show that they're 24/7 green electricity powered. How quickly can this happen? So let's bring out the talking new energy crystal ball. And I'm going to set the dial this week to shorter term rather than longer term, because longer term, you can take your view and say it will happen. But if we set the dial to 3 years' time, so this time of year in 2025, where do you think, where will we be at with hourly green certificates?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's the tricky one. The timing of this is the big question. Just to say, in my view, you know, this will absolutely happen. You know, I haven't spoken to anyone who doesn't say, you know, when you suggest adding more temporal granularity to the certificates, it seems like everyone agrees it's logical. And so we do envision, the long-term vision is that the existing certificates will all just transfer from an annual-based system to an hourly matching-based system.
Yeah.
What is that adoption rate? Now, I would say in 3 years' time, I think that the hourly certificates will be widely available to be bought by people who want to buy them and match with them and see where their energy is coming from in each hour. And
across Europe, North America,
and lots of developing countries have recently, in the last 5 years, adopted these certificates, and some of them are actually already you know, talking about kind of almost leapfrogging and going straight to this hourly certificate system. So they will be there on a voluntary basis, and I think we'll be in the middle of that kind of exponential growth in terms of the demand and the usage of these certificates, and there'll be line of sight at least to the point when this will be the old system will be have moved on and everything will be hourly.
And biggest challenge to getting to that point in 3 years' time?
it's a good question. I think there's a general question around the whole energy crisis and high prices for energy, and what does that do to the net zero agenda? You know, if you're a manufacturing business that uses a lot of electricity, you know, your main concern right now is how do I stay in business, particularly in the UK, let alone how do I reduce my carbon emissions and how do I be green?
Yeah.
And so I think that whole kind of net zero, you know, how much does climate and the net zero agenda stay on the table?
So you and I and most of our listeners know that the answer to that is accelerating the uptake of renewables, but
exactly.
Short-term tactical policy responses aren't always in line with
the
long-term answer.
So what I think could really help is that these certificates are actually kind of seized by policymakers as a way to reform the way energy markets work, to accelerate investment in clean energy. And I think some policymakers that we've spoken to recently are starting to see that opportunity of how they can use the certificate systems to kind of enhance deployment of clean energy.
Yeah. Okay, so challenge. I said one challenge, but I'm going to ask you for a second challenge. Challenge around the political environment and the response and focus of policymakers and regulators today. Second challenge, second thing that you think you've got to focus on or get right, be that energy tag or granular energy, to reach that vision of 3 years' time?
Well, I think we have to kind of continue to strive to make this simple and easy. And that's really what, as Granular Energy, we're trying to do is, you know, we've taken this existing concept of certificates, which already not everyone is buying green energy today with the old system, and we've made it, on paper at least, that bit more complex. What we're showing is that using technology, we can actually make the implementation of this very, very simple. Even for a utility company that probably has a lot to deal with, we've actually shown that by kind of using our platform, they can create a kind of 24/7 clean energy offer very, very quickly.
And simple and easy, I guess, can apply. That needs to be applied to everything from this enabling an energy retailer to do this, to communicating to customers what this means.
Absolutely.
I can see a risk of complexity, and I would imagine there needs to be a laser focus on keeping things clear and simple and implementable.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is just trying to convince people that it's, you know, better to buy clean energy over fossil fuel energy, and, you know, we can tell you where your energy has come from throughout the day.
Yeah. Without trashing what customers thought they were getting and doing over the last years in terms of
that is a process, but that we're going through that anyway, because there's a lot of people questioning the existing system. That's sort of why we're here, is that challenge with the existing system was there already. We're just the solution.
Well, Toby, that's been a fascinating discussion. I think I can see how it can be a huge enabler for us to get to 100% renewable or closer to 100% renewable electricity system, which will be critical not just to reduce emissions from electricity today, but the electrification of use, as you've said, of transport and of heat that we'll see over the next years and decade. So thanks very much, Toby. Thanks for joining.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
And thanks to everyone for listening. We hope you found that interesting. It's got you thinking about the green electricity tariff that you might be on and what you might be moving to in the next years as energy tag gathers more momentum. Thanks again and look forward to welcoming you back to next week's episode. Goodbye. If you're as passionate about the energy transition as we are, then please keep in touch. You can follow us and me on Twitter, LinkedIn, or subscribe to the podcasts on your chosen podcast platform. If you like the podcast and like sharing, then please do rate us. And to listen to archived episodes, to read transcripts, and to see the latest Delta EE insights, then please visit www.delta-ee.com.